Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that we may receive a new insight into this, your gospel. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be with you again. And as we've already mentioned, today is Pentecost Sunday. In my youth, we used to call it Whit Sunday. And tomorrow would have been Whit Monday, which was always marked when I was a lad in the pre-motorway days by huge traffic jams on the A30 trunk road to the West Country. But more importantly, today we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples during the Jewish festival of Pentecost, filling both them and the whole room. It was the beginning of the church. Everything dates from that moment. The disciples receiving the Holy Spirit and then going out and spreading the gospel. So it's rightly thought of as the birthday of the church. As David said, happy birthday. But it set me thinking. It made me wonder, have you had that experience of being filled by the Holy Spirit? Or maybe just had a little bit of the Holy Spirit poured out upon you? I would not be so bold as to say that I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe a few drops were sent my way. It was about 20 years ago, and after some gentle pressure from Steve Breukelman, I was persuaded to join one of the first Alpha courses, which were run in Sunnyside in the 1995-96. In fact, it was one of the first Alpha courses in the diocese. And two of us from Bourne End went, and I went with my dear friend Gladys Greenwood, who many of you here know. In those days, a feature of the Alpha course was a proper weekend away in the middle of the course, not just a rushed half day, which tends to happen now. And our weekend away was at the Fucolari Centre in Welwyn Garden City. I remember having an inspiring day and afterwards going up to my room but being unable to stop thinking about what I'd learnt and about what had happened to me. I had to get up and go for a walk to sort things out in my head. I walked around the garden city wondering what I should do. The next day, I remember driving home with Gladys, and as we talked, we realised that we both experienced something extraordinary. We must tell people, I remember saying to her. When I got home, I remember rushing in and rushing upstairs where Frances was. She was upstairs ironing. Funny the things you remember. And I remember telling her about the experience I'd had. I must tell people, I told her. If the Holy Spirit appeared to the disciples as a flame, in my case, it was probably more of a slow smoulder. But it did keep burning inside me. Not a raging flame, but a gentle smoulder, which sometimes glowed more brightly and sometimes not so brightly. But it never went out. Eventually, after some 20 years, this glow brought me to start training to be a reader. And after 3 years, I've been given the great privilege of being licensed to lead and to preach. And that's what I now realise was my encounter with the Holy Spirit. It took over 20 years to start to come to fruition. It's taken 20 years to develop. But that's enough about me. Let's see how the disciples experienced it. One of the readings today, in fact, the one which our lectionary says we must read on this Pentecost Sunday, is from Acts. If you like to grab your Bibles, you can find it on page 1093. And we're reading Acts 2. Beginning to read at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Well, so that's how the disciples received the Holy Spirit. And we hear Peter quoting that beautiful, lyrical, poetic piece from Joel. "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." We looked at the original Joel passage yesterday at prayer breakfast. And I idly speculated whether I was of an age when I should be seeing visions or whether I should be dreaming dreams. I was firmly, and a little harshly, I feel, told that I should be dreaming dreams. Definitely, I'm obviously in the old man category. So the question today is, have you seen the Holy Spirit working in your life or in the life of those around you? Did the coming of the Holy Spirit feel for you like it did for the disciples? Or was it a slow burn, a smoulder as it was for me? Or maybe you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit in either of those ways. Or maybe you just haven't recognized it. Or perhaps it's quietly smouldering away in you now. There's one more reference to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and that's the third reading for today from Romans chapter 8, 22-27. It's on page 1135. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but ourselves who have been the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, people in accordance with the will of God. And as we read these passages appointed for this day, notice that while each one of them talks about the Holy Spirit in a distinct way, they all are in harmony on one point. When the Holy Spirit comes, things change. In each case, the Spirit's presence is at least as disruptive as it is comforting. Things change, maybe slowly, but they change. I'm reminded of Anthony Archer's comment about the change in the Church of England. He says, the church moves at the speed of a giant tortoise. But things do change. So be careful what you pray for, as the coming of the Holy Spirit will certainly change things. And is that really what we want? Well, I don't think I've ever actually heard anyone pray, come Holy Spirit, that we might remain exactly as we are. But isn't that exactly how we sometimes act? For whatever we may feel about the Holy Spirit or Pentecost, most of the time we resist meaningful change in favour of the way we've always done things. The thing is, and there's no the way things have always been done, only the way we've done them in recent memory, which of course means the way we've got used to them being done. So, we should be open to seeing the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We should be open to accepting the change that it will inevitably bring. But most important, I think, is that we should tell people where we see the Holy Spirit working in our lives and in the lives of others. As we see in our Gospel on verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples to testify. Otherwise, why would anyone want to become a Christian? If people aren't aware of the change in us that the Holy Spirit makes, why should they come and join us? This change stuff is hard. It makes us nervous. But the Holy Spirit we celebrate on Pentecost has a way of not only shaking things up, but also granting the courage and confidence to see things through. And we have that assurance from Jesus himself, that the Holy Spirit, one of the translations of the Greek word paraclete that John uses, is the one who walks alongside us, the one who is alongside us. And so we have that assurance from Jesus himself that the Holy Spirit will be alongside us, supporting, comforting, interceding for us with the Father. But also within that Greek word, I checked with Dick, but also within that Greek word, there's an element of giving thanks. So we see the Holy Spirit not only changing us, supporting us, interceding for us, walking alongside us, but also giving us thanks for our work. So for this reason, we should pray, perhaps now more than ever, come Holy Spirit. Or as we sing in our next hymn, come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. O comforter, draw near, within my heart appear, and kindle it, thy holy flame bestowing. I wish you a joyful and a spirit-filled Pentecost. Amen.